Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands. 1850 715 815. Joe at RT.ie. Ethan Nolan, an unusual angle. You say it's related to what's happening at the moment. Go ahead. You got a leaflet in your door, Aoife, in Stony Batter in Dublin 7.
Hi, Joe. About a week ago, I got a leaflet through the door, and I was tidying up today, and I was about to throw it out, and I just thought, no, I'm going to give you a call. Mm-hmm. It's from a company called Providence, and they're offering high interest loans. The leaflet came about a day after the first kind of round of unemployment was announced. We've been in this house since August, and I've never received a leaflet for any sort of loan through the post. So I was just pretty shocked.
And what's the problem?
Well, the rate of interest is 60%.
Yeah.
The APR is 187.2%. I feel like it's kind of very vulturistic. They have seen an opportunity where people are stressed, insecure, very worried about, obviously, the virus, but about the kind of financial side of things. I don't think there is anyone in the country who isn't worried about either their jobs now or their jobs in the future. And I think they're just possibly preying on that kind of insecurity at the moment.
Yeah, but in fairness now, like, they've been around since young God's time. I remember Mr. Rothery calling to warehouse in Cladogreen every Saturday, and we called him the check man. It was a Provident check he used to get. And they're a reputable company. They're regulated by the central bank, and they say quite clearly this is a high cost loan. So, but you're going for the, what? Is there any reference on the leaflet to CV19?
No, there's nothing in it. I just thought it was interesting that I've lived in that house since the start of August, and I've never received anything. And then in the week that, you know, there's been huge unemployment, the government was at the time the €205, I think it was, and that when people are feeling probably pretty stressed, I thought it was probably a bit unusual timing for me to receive a leaflet about a high interest loan.
But then the question is, and we'll ask Provident this, because they are based in Ireland, another worldwide company, but do they normally, you're adamant you've never got one of these leaflets before?
Oh, never, never.
Had you ever heard of the company before, Aoife?
No, I'd never heard of them.
Never heard of Providence. No. Okay, they're what they used to do, I remember back in the day, you used to pay money every week. And then at the end of the year, this is why he was called the check man. He used to give you in December, give your mother in December, a check for 20 quid as it was in those days, for Frawleys or Sloanes or Guineys or Clearys or whatever. But you are right about the interest rates, but they do say it. But I take your general point. For example, I look there now, if you want to borrow €1,000, which is probably the minimum most people would need at the moment, your weekly payment every week for a year will be 30 quid. And by the end of the year, you would have paid for your €1,000 would have cost you €1,560. So that's 150.
A huge amount of money.
It is, 157.3 APR.
And that's assuming you can make your weekly repayments. A lot of people might have to take a two-year term on €1,000, particularly at the moment. And so you're probably going to pay back about €3,000 with that.
And you have to be aged between 18 and 74, be a resident of the Republic, agree to an agent visiting you visiting you at your home, I presume that means.
I don't like that either, but...
See, that's the way it was done in the old days, wasn't it? Remember the insurance man, maybe I'm giving them my age now, but the insurance man used to come every Tuesday and you'd give, you might be starving, but your mother still have the insurance man's money ready. And then, of course, as we got older, Aoife, we discovered, talk about Provident being high interest rates, we discovered that the policies people were bought and paid for every week from, I think it was Royal Liver back in the day, were absolutely worthless. Absolutely. About 100 quid, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the... Okay, you must be aged from 1874, resident of the Republic. Now, what I'm interested then to find out is, has anyone got these leaflets before the CV emergency? Isn't that the question to ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And how are you managing, Aoife?
No, we're very lucky at the moment in that I'm on maternity leave. We still have our jobs for now. I'm sure there'll be some impact at some point. My biggest challenge is having three children aged 5 and under in the house.
Oh, wow.
But we can manage.
Yeah. And you're in a great community up there in Stonybatter, aren't you?
Oh, that's yeah.
Great. Yeah.
And we can use this leaflet for some crafting in a minute, so.
Okay. Well, and it's a warning to people. Like again, I say, in fairness to Providence, it is clear on their material. This is a high cost loan. Now, I didn't think it was that high cost, but it is high cost when you actually dig into the detail.
This leaflet came out though before the kind of banks and the utility companies had kind of gotten themselves into the game and what they were going to offer their customer. This came before there was kind of any concrete detail about a mortgage holiday or, you know, I'm already getting emails from my electricity company saying contact us if you've any problems. This, I felt like, kind of swooped in before people had any assurances. And I'm sure, you know, we know the cost of rent and mortgages.
Cash loans from €100 to €1,000 subject to affordability delivered in person. Whatever your situation, we could help, even if you have been torn down in the past. And isn't that why they're...
And I'd wonder as well what type of, you know, in the UK, when you took a payday loan, those companies don't really exist anymore, like Wonga, but they really did impact their credit rating in the future. I don't know if this is the same if you take a loan from them.
Yeah, because payday loans were a big, big controversy in the UK, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they brought in legislation. But as I say, as you pointed out fairly, it's regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. That's what it says. Provident Personal Credit Limiting Trading as Provident is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. But funnily enough, I never hear them advertising on radio or television. Do you, or in newspapers?
No, this is the first I've ever heard them.
Okay. Aoife, thanks indeed. A kind regards to you and your family. 51551, wash your hands. Martin Hanley. Martin, good afternoon. You're in Cork.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
Good. You're good, thanks. Your point, please.
Yeah, Joe, I'm an SME in Ireland, like many of the companies, and what I'm looking for is liquidity in my company right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the government have brought out through the SCBI CV19 loan scheme. So you have to satisfy a number of criteria, and that's my issue, in that they're looking for a business plan to be submitted with this application.
Right.
Now, with all the best intentions in the world, what company has a business plan in the current environment? I doubt even that Pascal Grou has a business plan for the country at the moment. I welcome that he afforded us 70% of our staff's wages. They are going forward. And I'd like to be able to pay him as much as the 30% balance as possible. Where am I going to get the cash for that if my customers haven't got the appetite or the confidence to pay their bills that are due to me?
And the SCBI is the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. It's run by the state, the Department of Business, Enterprise and Innovation. It's been there a good while, but
that's correct.
And you're saying they had a Brexit loan scheme. I think that's the last time I heard of them, so to
speak.
That's
right.
The public domain. Now they have a COVID-19 loan scheme. But are you saying it's inaccessible or it's too expensive or...?
No, I just think that there's going to be a lot of hoops to jump before I can go to my bank. I've spoken to my bank about this yesterday. So you'll fill out this and you'll get eligibility criteria and SCBI will email me back and they'll say, yeah, you qualify for this loan.
Mm-hmm.
But then I will apply to my bank and I'll submit that I need emergency liquidity. But they're going to look for a business plan or signed off by my accountant to suggest what the money is for over the next period of time.
Okay, you're in the construction industry.
Correct.
Is that right? You have 24 employees. Are they all working at the moment?
Yes, they are. Yeah, we're one of the critical industries that haven't been closed down, so we're still working. Now, our turnover has drastically turned down, but not completely. We're still a viable enterprise, and up to 2 weeks ago, we were a profitable enterprise. It's just that we're not going to be profitable going forward. We might be closed down in the next few weeks if there's a total shutdown of the country.
Yeah.
And how do I continue to pay? Yes, I can turn the company dormant. I can ask banks to stop the lease payments and other payments that I have, and I can stop the rentals. But how do I pay the employees? How do I get liquidity in my company if my debtors don't pay? Economics is 50% confidence and 50% cash flow. Confidence has gone from the economy already.
And Mark, had you, just to give us a glimpse, had you a business plan anyway for this year?
Yes, we did.
And what were your projections up to COVID-19?
We were ahead of projections for the first 2 months. We were ahead of what we had budgeted.
And what was your annualized projection? What were you hoping to what were you hoping your income would be in 2020?
Well, I'd be in the 4 to 6 million euro category.
Okay, what do you think it will be?
That's the thing, Joe. I really don't know. I mean, am I going to be stopped? Is my business going to be stopped at the end of April, at the end of May? But what I will tell you is that on current levels, I would estimate that I could be down as well as 25% of turnover if the ramp down of the construction industry continues.
And the time frame that's getting most traction at the minute from government ministers is 12 weeks. You haven't got the liquidity to pay your staff for 3 months, have you?
This is completely the point. Any company, most SMEs would be on a week to week, that's the smaller businesses. Some of the medium-sized ones would be on a month to 2 months, and I would be in that parameter myself. Mm-hmm. It's after that. You see, in England, they came out and they gave an 80% employee scheme, but they straight away gave an interest-free loan to companies that they could apply for liquidity. It's not about profitability here anymore. It's about cash flow to keep a business viable. And I think we have a government that's reacting, not acting. They reacted to the anger of the 200 euros they gave to the 140,000 service sector employees that were let go, and they've increased that to 350. They've reacted to IBEC and ISME in relation to payments to employees to keep them on the books. And now they'll react to the liquidity problems that companies are going to face. I'm a viable business, and I want to continue to be a viable business after this.
But why do you
but
think...
I have a cash flow problem.
Sorry, Martin, it sounds like I'm cutting across you all the time. Apologies.
You're
Strategic
right.
Banking Corporation of Ireland, why do you think they won't give you a loan? Why do you think you'll be unsuccessful in getting a loan?
Because I previously applied for the Brexit loan scheme, and the hopes I had to go through with my bank in relation to business plans and all that. It's not about, I'm not saying my bank won't give me a COVID loan. I'm saying by the time I satisfy the criteria under the business plan submissions that I will have to make, I could be looking at a period of 3 to 6 months. That might be reasonable. Businesses need liquidity this week. This is a month-end week. Yeah. The businesses have a month-end, typically when their payments come in at the end of the month, of every month. So if my customers suffer a confidence issue and hold their money and refuse to pay around, the money doesn't flow around inside the business community, there will be liquidity problems within 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm looking at the form here. Now, they do say COVID-19 criteria. The business is impacted by COVID-19, which you are, resulting in business turnover profitability stroke, being negatively impacted by a minimum of 15%.
Correct.
What you need to be eligible is you must satisfy the COVID-19 criteria and one of the innovation criteria. Well, you've satisfied the first one, 15%
correct.
Down, and then one of the innovation as quickly as I could read it, there's about 12. And do you satisfy any of them?
I do. I would believe I applied and I believe I satisfy it under point 9. The point is evidence from the applicant. The business plan must demonstrate. So I doubt that the government have a business plan for this country for the next 12 months.
The business plan, just read it. The business plan must demonstrate those risks of failure and evaluated by an external expert, an accountant, an engineer, or the finance provider.
Yes.
The business plan must demonstrate the risks of failure. Well, there's two words, isn't there? COVID-19 is the risk of failure,
correct.
Isn't it?
Correct. I would not be looking for a liquidity loan if this scenario didn't happen 2 weeks ago. It's the wrong parameter to offer cash flow to businesses. The parameter to offer cash flow to businesses should be an instruction to the banks to give a very reduced overdraft facility rate, not the typical 8.5 to 12% that people are paying, in the low parameters of the 1% to 2% or even 0% as the English government have done. But I think we'll get a reaction. We won't get an action from this government.
Okay.
We haven't got it today.
And what's your view, Martin, on closing building sites? Are you on building sites? What end of the business are you in?
So what I would typically do is I would supply the machinery to the workers on the business sites. So what's my view on this, Joe? I think the health of everyone is of palliative importance. But the herd has to get this. So the fit and able have to get this. The vulnerable have to be kept away, the underlying conditions, the old, the aged, the health conditions. But 1.6 million people of us have to get it. So if we all go into lockdown, it's going to go dormant with us. And when we come out of lockdown, it's going to be there again. This is the process that was followed in South Korea.
Stay with us, Martin, because I want to bring Mijeli in. I've been holding him for a while, but I'll come back to you, I promise. You can mention South Korea in a sec. That's Martin Hanley. He's a business owner in construction in Cork. Mijela Hogan. Mijela, good afternoon.
Hi there, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your company?
Well, our company is, we have a small retail business in Cashel in County Tipperary. Mm-hmm. And we're up and going about 28 years. And, you know, we're doing okay. Yeah. And my argument is our insurance company will not stand by us on this because we have business interruption on it and they don't consider this business interruption. And if this isn't business interruption, I really don't know what is.
And that's it, point blank?
Point blank, no.
And some insurance companies have been saying, well, you had the option of paying extra for pandemic insurance, but nobody takes it up. They think the view over the last years have been that, oh, this is just another way of insurance companies trying to churn more money out of you. But now people are, does that apply in your policy?
We have business interruption and we've paid extra for it, for business interruption.
Okay, and what was your understanding that?
Well, we're closed now due to no fault of our own.
Yeah.
We went by the HSC guidelines and the government. We had to think of our own health, our family's health, our customers' health. And we decided to close because we've been told to help each other. And this is what we're trying to do. And, you know, now we need somebody for the likes of me being a small business to stand up and the likes of the government to help us out here, you know, because they're not going to listen to the likes of me. We need the government now to stand up for us and help us on this. And it's okay kind of saying, oh, we'll give out about it and we'll all be mad. But we need somebody to speak up for us and mean it.
By the way, what do you think you should be entitled to? Is it a weekly payment for each staff member? Is it a lump sum?
Well, what I think we should be entitled to is it's our, when we open back up, and hopefully sooner than later, and we will get through this, is like in my idea, we've stock in for our tourist season coming up, our communion confirmation season, which will come around again whenever. And our suppliers need to be paid when we open back up. So what I'd be looking for is to have a cash flow from them too, because of this business interruption, to be able to pay our suppliers. You know, so we're not struggling for months and trying to catch up with everything.
And did you ask the insurance company, well, what does constitute business interruption? Disruption, business disruption.
Yeah, break-ins, damage, you know, that's it, yeah.
Fire, I presume, and
floods, all of that kind of thing. Glass breaking, you know, public liability.
And insofar
we have all of that.
Yeah, and insofar as you can remember, what has your premium been going up year on year?
We're not too bad. It hasn't been going up that much now. We haven't had to apply for anything, or, you know. Yeah.
Okay. And can you do any business online, Mijela?
Not really, no. No, we're up front of the counter. I'm kind of the old-fashioned way of doing things.
Okay. Could you do it through on post? They're so brilliant at the minute, they always are.
Yeah.
Could you do it through on post, no?
Well, not really. I mean, what we do is, you know, with our repairs and all that, and our customers are great. They're brilliant, you know, and we rely on them. Our business relies on the people around our town and surrounding areas.
Okay.
And they like to come in and meet you. You know, that's just the way it is.
Okay, stay there for a sec. Martin Hanley. Martin, you mentioned South Korea. What's your point there, please?
Yeah, no, look, I don't want to go too far off tangent from my initial point, Joe, but as I say, this is a health movement. So many of us do have to get this virus. It is mild in many, many cases for many healthy people. I appreciate there is healthy people that are falling seriously ill to it too. But we can't. It's not going to go away. People have to get it. So let us, the fit and healthy, get it, and that the vulnerable, it's in a controlled environment so that the hospital people...
But the problem is, if you get it and are healthy and well, you're a carrier.
Yes,
and you can infect more people.
But I'm isolating. Anyone that can get it can isolate for the 2-week period. keep away from the vulnerable. And after 2 weeks, you will get a flu-like immunity for hopefully 2 years, by which stage a vaccine might have been created. It's about, it's going to be there. It's about suppressing when it comes there. And let the fit and healthy get it rather than the vulnerable. I don't want reckless behaviour like the young lads wearing on the nose and they're going around and they're coughing and sneezing, by the way. I'm talking about a controlled environment of this spreading among the people.
And Simon, the Minister for Health said somebody came up to him on the street and
he did.
Coughed
he did.
Into he his, did. To a couple, two people, and coughed into his face deliberately.
Yeah, completely. Reckless behaviour. This needs to be done in a controlled environment. In fairness to the WHO and to our own medical council, they're controlling this, and the government is listening to them attentively and issuing new directives as needed. But to come back to my point, Joe, from a financial point of view, from the business point of view, not the health point of view, I think that the government needs to act and not react again. They need to show companies how to get access to liquidity quickly. They can give the employees 70% starting this Friday. That's what Pascal Donohue said on the news last night. How can companies access working capital cash flow funds quickly? Not in the context of a COVID-19 application form and a business plan signed off by engineers. No, how can
and are your staff entitled to that 70% coming Friday?
They would be, yes, they would be. Okay. It's about retaining staff. It's a very admirable thing.
But
to
they're only entitled to 70% if you laid them off, is it?
No.
You hold on to them. Great.
Correct.
It's about
hopefully that the employer will pay upwards of somewhere in the, as much as he can of the balancing 30%. Of their net pay during the period.
But you're saying your businesses, and so many businesses are gone through the floor, almost 100%, a lot of them, that
correct.
The 30% would be stretching it as well for a lot of employees.
Yeah. Outside of other cost structures that we can't get rid of, that would be that. So help us pay the employees and help us stay around for the 12 to 16 weeks that this thing is going to go on.
Get through it and get cracking again. Okay, Martin, thanks indeed. Martin Handley, Magella Hogan, thank you both. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Lisa Bracken. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. The Provident, the loan company, has been around a long time. Very high interest rates. And they say we'll get you a loan even if you've been turned down before elsewhere of between 100 and 1,000. And if you borrow 1,000 over a year, you pay back 30 quid a week and you end up paying 1,560. You come in defence of this system.
I do, Joe. I mean, I'm 49, right? And I'm one of 10 kids.
Right.
And I can honestly say that a lot of the times we wouldn't have eaten without Provident. The whole purpose of them, obviously, is, you know, for people who can't go to a bank or have no credit rating. And it's very, very clear. They make it really clear, you know, what the interest rates are and the whole lot when you sign on the dotted line. And I found I was gobsmacked, actually, when Aoife said that she never heard of Provident. I don't know anyone who's never heard of Provident.
But that's fine if she's never heard of it. I presume they operate in certain parts. They were big in Ballyfermot, as I say, very big. But so was the moneylender, Harry.
Yeah.
He used to come every in his Austin Woolsey every Saturday evening or every Saturday morning. And if you didn't have the money you needed to get it into his office in North Great George Street by 5 o'clock that evening.
Exactly.
But he was a moneylender. He was charging more than Provident, I suspect. Let me bring Linda in. Linda, Lisa. One of Aoife's main points was it's the timing of this that she finds. She never got a leaflet before. People are up the walls. And this leaflet comes in the door offering immediate loans and we'll deliver it to your house.
But why is she surprised that Joe? I mean, they're a business. They're not a business all them years for no reason. It's their market, you know, to step in at times of crisis. We've a lot of crisis in the country at the moment.
Okay.
There's a lot of awareness that actually people who are living on social welfare, it's not an acceptable, or disability or whatever, is not an acceptable amount of money to live on. And that's a great thing that's come from this, the awareness of poverty. And people think that Provident is a historic thing.
So you don't think there's anything about the timing? Okay, Linda, good afternoon. Have you got these leaflets lately?
Yeah, in the last I'd say 10 days to 2 weeks.
Have you ever got them before?
No.
Do you know anyone who's ever got them before?
No, it wasn't even something that struck me until I heard it on the radio this morning. The only thing I noticed was when I took them out of the letterbox was, this is new. So.
And are they from Providence?
I couldn't. That's what I told your researcher.
You couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember. I just saw that there was loans, there was APR percentages and stuff like that. And because I didn't feel the need, myself personally, I just put them into a recycling bin. I'm actually out in my bin. I'm trying to find them.
Can you remember the image? Because there's a very distinctive image on the cover of the Provident one, and that's a young woman standing at what's obviously a hall door with an ID card around her neck, and she's obviously your agent that collects the money, your repayments every week, because that's their unique setting point, or probably their unique way of doing business, that they actually call and collect your money every week. They collect the 30 quid or the 50 quid. But anyway, you don't remember. Don't be going through the bin.
Oh, it's too late. You're cleaning it up now. I distinctly remembered it. Knew I'd been there, so I said I'll go out and have a look. But I think it's gone. It's either at the very bottom or it's already gone.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that it's happening down in my area.
Okay, but Linda, don't tell your friends. Like, what did you do during? I was bored. I went through my bin.
I think it's too late for that.
Did you see? I'm not being funny now. I'll come back to the series. But did you see that? There's loads of WhatsApps going around, but the one with the spin the wheel with the key on it. What will I do? Read a book, housework, pre-cook meals, organise the wardrobe, clean up my bin, or wine.
I do all of that anyway, so I don't need to spin a wheel, I'm good for all that, Joe.
Okay, what do you think of Lisa's point? That they provided service, have been for a long time, you know what you're doing, it makes it clear, this is a high cost loan.
Well, Joe, I'll be honest with you, when I was a young mammy, I used that service. My kids are all grown now. I thankfully don't need that service anymore, but I remember using it, and I remember the hardship of it, and I remember I couldn't wait till it was paid up and gone, because the initial satisfaction of receiving the money to do whatever quickly dissipates, and then you're left with this call every Saturday. I used to dread it, and I'm glad that it's so many years ago and I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. And what
because it's a burden. The satisfaction of a service like that only lasts a short time. And I recall a service like that a burden ultimately.
But Linda,
Lisa,
Joe. Linda, do you not think that, you know, although that's great for you that you don't need to avail of the service at the moment, and it's brilliant. But there are an awful lot of people who will use Provident.
I was one of them. I was one of them at the time, and even though I really needed that, I used that for something quite vital. I just remember the burden of that.
But do you not agree that it's a good idea now, Linda, to have it there as an option for people who just don't have money in the bank or don't have a good credit record that they can go? I mean,
I don't have a judgment on anybody that would need a service like that. I'm speaking from my own perspective, in that I felt it was a burden, that the initial satisfaction of the availability of that money wore off very quickly, and I dreaded that knock every Saturday for the next 26 weeks.
So is a bank loan a burden, Linda? Do you know what I mean? Every loan is a burden when the repayment kicks in. It's always a hoolie when you get the money, of course it is. Do you know what I mean? Well, but it's the same with the bank. No one likes paying back the
money. I've just taken out a mortgage, Lisa, and we're like, it's quite late at night, and we're about to move after renting for years, and so I know exactly what I'm talking about when you talk about financial burden, and you know.
Yeah, so it's the same right across the sector. Do you know what I mean? You know, and different circumstances, do you know, suit different people, and that's great, and congratulations that you've gotten your mortgage, and I wish you well. But I do think that even now, it's a service that's really, really needed in society, and people are not stupid. They know, Linda, when they sign up for a loan, that it's, you know, it's colossal.
Lisa, like the maths, is pretty, pretty heavy. If you borrow 1,000, okay, and you opt to pay it over 26 weeks, first of all, you have to start paying you start paying 50 quid back next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you have to pay 50 the following week, and then the 50. And by week 20, your 1,000 quid is gone on paying the 1,000 quid back, and then you have to pay another 6 weeks. You have to pay another 300 quid. You know what I mean?
Everyone knows that when they sign up. And at the moment, and any time, you know, apart from this time at the moment in society, people, you know, when you need to put bread and butter on the table, you will go to any means necessary to feed your family. Do you know?
What do they do, by the way? Does anyone know? What do they do if you can't pay back the loan?
In my time, it was...
Linda.
I think they would recover the stuff through...
in other words,
like a bailiff or a sheriff.
Yeah, what's your collateral?
No, they don't. No. No,
I'm talking years ago for me.
We've been trying to get a response from Provident. They're based in Drogheda in Wexford. That's their Irish, and they're in Bradford in West Yorkshire in the UK.
They write off loans now. I have to say, and they specifically say, they will tell you, they don't use bailiffs or any kind of debt recovery. They'll send letters constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, the agent won't stop knocking at the door, but they eventually, and I'm speaking about the experience of a very close relative, they write the loan off.
Now, we're not advocating that, but the other little asset they have is that they, before they give you the loan, they meet you. They call around to your house, don't they? They call around to your house. You have to agree to an agent visiting you at your home. So that means they come to the house, they meet you in the house, they make their own judgment about the drive-in or the car or the absence of or whatever is there. And they do take a risk. And the reason the risk is 60% interest. That's the risk. But that's interesting that they don't look for any collateral. They don't say, give us the deeds to your ride-on lawnmower or whatever. But anyway, okay. Linda, thanks indeed. And Lisa, how are you managing in the emergency?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks. Really well. Just coping like everyone else. Can't wait to hug people.
Okay. Thanks indeed. That's Linda and Lisa. Let me bring in Peter McNamara. Peter, good afternoon.
Peter McNamara here from Limerick.
Yeah.
I'd just like to remind people that about 28 years ago now, MABS was set up originally by myself and Michael Murphy and Nora Burke here in Limerick.
Okay.
We set up the first office and we got five offices going, specifically to deal with getting people cheaper loans through the credit unions rather than going to these very expensive moneylenders.
Well, they don't call themselves moneylenders now, in fairness. Moneylender.
Well, for one reason or another, I mean, everybody's a moneylender, the bank is a moneylender, but these are very expensive moneylenders.
But they are legal.
Sorry?
They are legal and regulated by
the Central Bank of Ireland. There's no problem with that. It's just that the percentage charged annually was very high. And then you had some illegal ones throwing in their towel as well with it. And they were even more expensive. But even the legal ones are expensive.
Mm. And are you familiar with the credit unions at the moment, Peter, in terms of what their interest rates are for loans? They're quite low. They're relatively low.
Normally, the credit unions were about a percent a month. I'm not up to date on specifically. I know they changed quite a bit now, but we would be quite sure that they'd be cheaper than some of these.
You're right. You have it on the button. 1% a month. That's 12%.
With the help of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I was president here in the local branch, and that's why we set up this specifically in one or two areas of Limerick, and then we got funding through the, I think it was the Paul Partnership, to set up an office in Limerick in 1992, first office of MABS in the country.
And I also say, in fairness to the credit unions, I've been told, they say their personal loan interest rate can be significantly lower than 12%.
The idea was that people needed to build up a little bit of credit, get themselves into the credit union, and the Vincent de Paul also helped in that line. You know, normally they were helping people anyway, so they would help them to get into that area and get credit built up and do some deals that were favourable to the to the people
and,
coming in.
And Peter, have you any idea what happens when you default on a Provident loan, when you can't pay the 60% interest annually?
What I don't. No, I can't remember any specific ones, yeah. But you know, there were some instances. All right, I'm not sure whether they were on the legal side or the illegal side, where.
Well, the illegal, in fairness now, the problem, they are legal.
They're legal, yeah.
But the illegal money lenders rely on the force of their argument or otherwise to get the money back.
Yeah. I've noticed, I can't recount specific ones, Joe. I'm out at the Vincent de Paul now for several years.
Okay, I have another man. Stay with us, Peter, in Limerick. 51551, wash your hands. Dermot in Kildare. Dermot, you say you're fuming with Provident. Why?
Well, I am. And first of all, before I get on to that, Joe, I want to commend MABS. And I'm delighted to hear the actual founder because they do phenomenal work. I just give you, again, same organisation, VDP, and the same organisation, i.e. Provident. And I'll just give you one particular example without obviously mentioning names. But there was a young girl. She had two children. One going for confirmation, one going for Holy Communion, needed money and got a loan for 1,500 and single parent, got into difficulty very, very quickly. Now, two or three things. Number one, as one of your earlier callers said, Provident are allowed go directly to their home. They were doing this to this young girl at 9 and 10 o'clock on a Saturday and Sunday night. At all sorts of times. Wow. That's number one. Number two, probably most importantly of all, she had been forced to get her mother to sign the document, so their mother was then gone as guarantor.
Okay.
And number three, she just hadn't got the facility, she hadn't got the means. Now, we were in this particular instance, and I was involved with VDP for quite a number of years, and we did on a number of occasions contact Provident direct. We got the loan paid, with Vincent de Paul paid the loan in full, but without any interest whatsoever. And they accepted that. But that's very, very rare. They do not write off loans. They continue, if you don't pay, that's added on, and then the interest is on paid. You're paying interest on the money that you haven't paid. You know what I mean? The interest keeps on increasing. Yeah. So that's where you were saying earlier on, Joe, between and that 100, that's 1,500 in a thousand, out of 1,000 is about 70% actual APR. And if you don't pay it, it goes up to, as you said again, up to 150 or 200%, but it does not disappear.
And you're saying, well, I'm looking at the form that they dropped into the House of Stony Batter recently. They don't mention a guarantor.
Well, I promise you, I had the document in front of me.
Okay.
And the girl's mother was signed. Of course, she was terrified.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, I'd like to say as well, when I was involved, I was in the Vincent de Paul for 36 years. I'm out of it now for about 10 or 12 years. Hmm. But while I was there and when we were doing this work, I noticed it was big families that were approached and they were getting these loans on a regular basis. And then, as the last caller said, some of the younger members were enticed into loans. I'm not sure if some of them are underage, but from memory, I would just say I remember one specific case where she was underage, and I'm not sure what the organization, which organization she was dealing with at the time. But there was a kind of a continuous rota from mother to children, etc.
Okay, well, we're trying. I've put it out there to people. What happens if you default on a loan with one of these companies that charge between 60 and 150% annually? What lien have they got on you, so to speak? Okay, Peter McNamara, Limerick, proud member of formerly of the S. Vincent de Paul and founder of MABS way back in 1992, and Dermot, also proud member of the Vincent de Paul, a great organisation. Thank you both. Tony is in Crumlin. Tony.
Tony, how are you, Joe? How are you keeping?
Good. Provident,
oh my God, what can I say about it? I was with them years ago, Joe.
Okay.
And they are, I was going through a bad situation at the time.
Okay.
And of course, they called every week. I had a book that Provident supplies you with. He'd give them the money, he'd mark the book, and then they would take away probably every 6 months to bring it into the office to update it. And on three or four occasions, I had an argument with them over the actual, what was left, on the book.
To be paid,
They took it away and they found I was right. and all this messing was going on. So I got down on the loan anyway, find it very difficult, but I got down and never missed a week. Okay. And then just as it was, I think it was about 500 quid left, they offered me 1,500. So that brought the 52 grand and then the interest on top of that again. So this is what they do. Now, as far as I'm concerned, right, you know, people say when you got into it yourself, yes, I did get into it myself. You will do anything, as the woman said earlier on the radio, if you're stuck for money. But I actually thought that they were long gone. I really did. And in the end, I owed them 600 quid. And because of the messing going around with the books, I had a few talks with the manager up there.
Okay.
And I refused to pay it. And they came three times and they said, are you refusing to pay?
Yeah.
And I said, I am refusing to pay. Bring me to court. Do what you like. I says, I'll go to the papers and we'll sort this out. Because this is ridiculous.
So what?
They never chased me up. They said he'd put me on the register there, of, you know, for not paying in full. I said, do what you like. I said, I'm just sick. I had three different people call.
Yeah.
You the house. After that, three different managers. Sorry, Joe, I'll have to put that dog up somewhere.
No, don't mind. What's the dog's name?
Yeah, Mutsy.
What?
Mutsy.
Mutsy. What breed? It's a big bark. What breed?
I had a Japanese student stay with me.
What breed is the dog?
So when she was going back to Japan, I got a little dog and I called him Mutsy.
Mutsy. And what breed is your little dog?
It's a little Chihuahua.
And she obviously self-identifies as a Labrador or something, does she? She's a big bark.
Okay.
But you're saying, I won't use the word default.
Yeah, what they do is, you'll probably have a caller for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then one day, this person called, the wife's coming in now.
Okay.
What happened was, then a woman called to the door one day to collect.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm from Providence. And I said, have you any identification? And she said, I'm from Providence, yours. So I said, it doesn't matter who I am, who are you? So I complained to them about that as well.
Yeah.
And seemingly the other guy had left for topping up too many loans and there was money not being. So they said, there was a lot of messing going on up there at the time. But look, the main point I'm trying to make across here is that people should not go near them. Okay.
But you're saying they didn't, when you owed them the 600 quid, and you're saying they eventually wrote it off, obviously, after coming back.
Yeah, because we refused to pay them.
I know. But they didn't. They didn't take you to court. They didn't say we want your television or.
No, Joe. They threatened me. You know what I mean? They said they would bring it to court. They didn't threaten me physically. But they did. You know the usual.
Okay.
You got the written letters. Do they still
operate up in Crumlin, insofar as you know?
They were up around there. I think that's where they were. Yeah, Providence. I think they were up in Dublin 12 somewhere.
And they were massive in Ballyfermot. Massive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But why wouldn't they be?
And their agent was a lovely man, Mr. Rothery. He was a lovely man. He lived in Ballyfermot as well. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony, you mind yourself. Mind Mutsy, will you? She's hungry or something, or?
The wife goes out. He's always with her.
Okay.
And then he's neither coming in that way, but he went bananas.
Ah, great. Well, aren't dogs great company in the current emergency, I can tell you?
Oh, do you know what? We had the dog for 15 years. He died there just before last Christmas, and we decided to invest in this one. I was actually talking to you in a famous coffee shop down on Grafton Street. You were coming
beauties.
Out one morning and I was said to you about the banks that they were given the loans, like.
You know,
I don't know what you remember on it. And like I said, the bank, I know the Irish bank now, if you have an account, you can go online and get a top up of £1,000 instantly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's only, I think it works out at €13 a week.
How are you managing during the emergency, Tony?
Oh, grand, yeah. I'm just staying in because I have underlying conditions. I haven't been out.
Okay.
We're doing well, like, there's people worse off than we are.
Is your Japanese student gone back?
Oh, yeah, because I had turned out for the last couple of years when I was out of work. I was out of work since 2011 due to open heart surgery.
And how did she get out? What was she studying, or he studying in Ireland?
She was studying English, and then when she went back then, I used to take the students in to help me with my mortgage.
Well done, fair play to you.
And then the following week...
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I love it. I've done it for so many years, Joe. It was unreal. I've done it for since 2011. I was 51. I had the open heart surgery.
All nationalities?
I had, Indians. I had Taiwan. Japanese, Chinese.
Who was your favourite?
Oh, it's hard to pick them, Joe. We've lovely photographs here of that.
And were you helping them with their English, Tony?
I wasn't the evening yet because the girls would say it was like we were talking. We'd have we'd always, it was only myself, my wife, with no children.
Yeah.
And we used to sit around the table and we'd talk.
Yeah.
We'd talk to them. I would correct them on a few words that they said.
Okay.
And then they'd ask me, what does that mean? And,
Tony,
students I had, I can't speak an ounce of Japanese or anything.
Yeah, but did they ever interrupt you, Tony? You're a great yapper. You're a great teacher, Tony. You mind yourself. Thanks for that. Look after yourself, and Mutsy, and your family. Yeah. Okay, Tony. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Wash your hands. A lot of people contact us about creche, and there was an announcement yesterday evening, which is reported in all the papers by the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, Catherine Sapone, that creches would not ask parents for fees after a deal was done with the state that they would pay 70% of their workers' salaries, up to €410 a week. Now, Elaine Dunn, Federation of Childcare Providers. Elaine, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
What is the new situation as far as you're concerned?
The new situation, as we see it, is that revenue will reimburse 70% of the pre-COVID staff costs.
Mm-hmm.
The DCYA then will reimburse 30%
of the COVID staff department.
They will also pay retention top-up, so all staff will earn a minimum of 350 net before tax. Or, you know, there's no tax, it's non-taxable, okay? The DCYA then also said that they would be funding providers with 15% of staff costs to assist with the ongoing costs arising within the services. Now, 15% does not cover our costs. So if it's safe for me, so I have got two services, so my costs a month for my staff wages alone are nearly 19,000.
Mm-hmm.
So 15% of that is 2,800 a month. That's all I'll get. And out of that, I have actually got my rent frozen, but I still have loads of other costs.
Yeah, but are your staff not being paid by the state, effectively?
Well, the staff are being paid by the state.
Yeah, so that's that outgoing is gone.
Well, what they're saying is we have to now do it through our own businesses, so it comes through revenue. So we are not allowed to lay off our staff, so we have to keep our staff on our books, and we have to continue to build up our revenue as we go along so the staff aren't laid off. Okay, but they're only giving us 15% of the staff wages to keep our businesses going.
But in the statement we say we'll give 70% of our workers' salary. 70% is a lot different than 15%. Are they giving 70%, yes or no?
The revenue are giving 70% to everybody in all businesses across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's coming from revenue.
Yeah.
So DCYA, the Department of Youth Affairs, are giving us 30%.
So that's 100%.
That's 100%.
So what's the problem? 15. What's the problem?
No, staff. It's fantastic. The staff are being looked after. The problem is where the business is not being looked after. There's no sustainability for businesses whatsoever here.
Okay, you're saying
we cannot.
Okay, the staff will be there, but the business won't be there.
100%. We will not be there. This morning already, services have already closed their doors. For the last time, they have put their staff on permanently onto the dole. As we speak, it is going on across the country.
And the other end of the course was that you're not allowed to charge fees when you're not open.
Well, the whole thing with this new with the COVID contract is we've got to sign a new contract, and within that contract, we now have to say that we will not charge our parents. Okay, but we can't sign that contract because if we don't charge our parents something, a holding fee or something, we don't have businesses at the end of this. There is nothing. We are gone, and that is the fact.
And so you...
So
that proviso that the childcare providers, if they access this programme, so to speak, they cannot charge parents from this month onwards. You're saying that's not feasible either?
No, we there's no businesses. We have no businesses left. As I'm saying to you here and now, I have not slept last night. We've been on the phone all night and all morning trying to speak to providers who are now shutting their doors as we speak, putting their staff permanently on the dole.
Okay, let me
ring. And that is going on.
Yeah, now, as we know from this programme and other programmes, especially coming up to Christmas, there were serious issues with crèches and viability. Fiona Kinch is in the Park Montessori in Leopard Sound. Fiona, what's your situation?
Hi, Joe. I'm Michael Lane. I've run my school for 26 years. And I provide a good school for parents. And I haven't been, I wrote to my parents yesterday and I'm not charging them any fees for the rest of the year, obviously because of the emergency. But we weren't consulted about this. There was nothing. It was like my legs were taken from under me. I'm waiting a payment next week for to lead into May. That's gone now. I've no income coming in now from the government. And I signed the contract in good faith. I met all their conditions. I had to spend $3,000 on a building compliance cert before Christmas. I'm coming into August with... I know my insurance has gone up. You've covered that before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I've no fees coming in. I am gone. And the government has closed me. How can you sign a contract and then back out of it just because... I know there's people in the country who are in worse situations, and I'm sitting at home wanting to work, and I want to meet the needs that the government wants me to do with the children. And I have emailed parents things to do, and I've kept in contact with my parents. And the insulting thing as well about the contract, the new contract, is they want us to do CPD training while we're off. I'm a level 8 degree. I did their link course last year while working, and I got no payment. You get €200 for link. But I spent $12,000 getting my degree off NUI Galway, and the government now want me to do CPD. I wonder, are the teachers doing CPD while they're off? We marched in December, February, 30,000 of us, and we wanted consultation.
One of the biggest demonstrations ever.
Yes, and we got hardly any media cover. And that was powerful for us. But now the government has come back and they've taken our legs again. I'm heartbroken. My school probably won't be here. How can you run a business when you've no income? I'm like, all the cafes and restaurants were gone. And the government can say, we're in this together, we're not. When they go back to work, when this horrible virus is cleared out the country, there'll be no childcare providers. And parents need that. And we are together with the parents. We want to work. We want.
But with the government, we're going to pay your staff.
I know, but that's not enough, Joe. I've overheads. Like Elaine said, we all have loans. We have huge outgoings that people don't see. I need electricians. I need people, workmen. I'm a woman on my own. I have no one to look after my building. I'm one of the lucky ones. I haven't got rent. I'm blessed that way. But I just can't. I was on the edge, and now this has tipped me over. And no consultation, no acknowledgement of, well, you've done a good job, girls. We're going to keep your contract till the end of the year, but we may have to look at for September going forward. And, you know, I have emails from parents saying, the children are missing you, Fiona.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, they're lost without you. And I know my parents appreciate me, but this government does not. And I'm praying that whoever forms the next government will consult us and realise that we are on our knees. And only for people like Elaine and the Federation that organised that march, we'd be worse.
Stay with us, Fiona. Alison is a crèche owner in Carlow. Alison, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I think a lot of people read this announcement that the government would effectively pay the wages of the crèche workers.
When I initially read it, I said, oh great, this is really positive, this is a positive step. And then I realised they were pulling our funding. And then I realised that we actually had to pay the wage and then we'd be reimbursed. So they've pulled our funding and there's no money in my account to pay this. So I've been paying my staff for the last 2 weeks. I reassured them that their wages would continue to be paid. I let parents know yesterday that I wouldn't expect payment from them, told them to look after themselves and that we'd hopefully see them in a couple of weeks. And now I've had to let 9 staff go and obviously myself, that's 10 of us, go. Because I was due a payment tomorrow of 7,000, which would cover my wage bill. And now, because they've stopped funding, they're only paying us till next Friday. So that's only €2,000. I don't have enough to cover the wages anymore.
And when you say you let the staff go, is it temporary or permanent?
I don't know, Joe. I don't think I have a business that's sustainable any longer. I'm not going to. I have hefty bank loans, have rent to pay, we have insurance costs that come out every month. All of these have to be paid, and I can't pay them anymore. 15% of my wage bill is €510 a week. That won't even pay the bank loan.
I'm not advocating, but can parents? It's unclear. But they do say that the childcare providers cannot charge parents from this month onwards. But could parents make a gesture? Would that help?
I'm sure they
are. Now, again, I'm conscious of the domino here that the parents themselves could be out of work.
Struggling. Yeah. That's like, we were in a sector that the government were funding a lot of services. A lot of us, particularly preschool only, I'm heavily funded. I was okay. I was obviously things were very extremely tight without parent fees, but we were able to keep staff wages. I was able to keep, you know, the roof over our heads and keep things going.
Mm-hmm.
Full daycare services are in a different situation, and maybe if there was an opt-in scheme for them, that would be helpful. But right now, the rug has been pulled out from under me. My staff, I can't pay them this week. The money's not in the account. It won't be in the account tomorrow as planned.
Okay.
And I've only been notified of this an hour ago.
Okay. Erica, come in for a second. Listen to Alison, Fiona and Ian. Well, go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, firstly, thank you for having me on the show. My husband's a big fan of yours.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I suppose I'm in the same boat as everyone else, only that I actually do have rent. I have to pay €1,000 a month. There's no leeway whatsoever on my rent during this crisis. It has to be paid. I've been paying my staff. I've told them that I'm not letting them go, and I'll pay the rent as long as the funding keeps coming. The funding I have at the moment, I have high additional needs children in my service. And hello?
Yeah, loud and clear, Eric. Yeah.
And so I have two staff there that are mm-hmm. specifically there for additional needs children, and they are a godsend. Like, you know, the children have come on leaps and bounds with these staff. Like,
okay.
It's heartbreaking that we're not there with them now, like, you know, because we've made such good progress with them.
And Erica, are you in the same situation as Alison, Fiona and Emer, and that is that you think your business will close, your creche will close?
It will. Well, to be honest with you, Joe, like, I won't be able to pay the rent. And if I can't pay the rent, I'll be evicted and I will have to close the business. You know, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, I had brought in a doctor to my service on the 12th of March. He's one of the parents. We are right across from Navan Hospital. I have a lot of doctors who would be parents in our service. And he gave an information session to the parents, like, one day after school, like, when this was all starting. And it was very, very, very beneficial, you know. And we came together as a group and we said, like, I sent out a message and I asked them, like, you know, just based on what information I was given, we didn't wait for the government announcements to say their schools were being closed. We listened to the doctor and the information that we were given, and we decided as a group we were closing early for the benefit of the children and their safety. So we closed on the Wednesday, and the staff went in on the Thursday, and we deep cleaned the whole place. And we heard on the radio, we didn't even get an announcement, we didn't get any email, we got no notification from the government that the schools were closed. We heard it through the radio, you know. And again, it's the same thing last night. We didn't get an official announcement. We got confirmation from parties that attended the meeting yesterday that our government has pulled the funding, or, well, not pulled it, has paused the funding on our services. You know, I have, like everyone else, I have rent and I have bills to pay. I've been paying the staff. I've been accruing the holiday pay while this has been going on, like, so that they're not out of any financial pocket whatsoever.
Okay, but just to be clear, Erica, you, what percentage of your attendees, your children, are get the ECCE payment? Do you follow me?
Okay, I have 21 children in my service. And I have 3 fee-paying children, and the rest are all on the ECT scheme.
So that's where your income was coming from primarily.
But
the government will say, well, the majority of your income that we gave you was obviously going on paying staff.
No, yeah, I mean, I have to pay the rent and everything else.
It's the ancillaries.
Know?
Okay, I understand that. Sorry. And everyone's making the same point.
They are. Like, you know, and just to bear in mind as well, they said they're pulling the funding for 12 weeks. They're not pulling for 12 weeks because you have to bear in mind, we don't get paid over the summer. So it's five months before we are going to get our next payment.
Okay, I'm looking at the screens now. It's a big issue. Annette Akerlund. Annette, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, good afternoon. How are you doing? Thanks very much for talking to me.
Go ahead, your point please, Annette.
I'm in the same boat as all those other lovely ladies who are on there. It's absolutely disgraceful. We were forced to close our doors. We understand this is an awful crisis for our country. Mm-hmm. We closed our doors. They put in writing to us on the day we closed our doors, you will be paid for ECTE, AIM, CCSU, CCSP, NCS. You will be paid for the duration of your closure. Like everybody else, the butcher has to be paid, the veg man has to be paid, rent-a-kill has to be paid, the gas has to be paid, the ESB has to be paid, all these still have to be paid. And this holiday they're all talking about, no disrespect, Joe, this holiday they're all talking about is not a holiday. As that lovely lady just said there, we're not getting a payment for 5 months. So we're going to go back from our holiday with a whole big pile to sort out. And most of us, I employ 70 people in Kildare, and I can tell you, I cannot see a way of opening my doors in September. If I don't get the money that the government are contracted to pay me, I will not be in a position to take those 70 people back to employment and to provide that childcare for those almost 400 families in Kildare. I will not be in a position to do it.
Can I just, sorry, can I raise it online?
Yeah, is it Erica?
How you doing? Hi, how are you? I would also like to bring into the fact that on the ECTE scheme, we all signed a contract. We signed it last summer, and there is a clause that says, like, 12.3 says that they have to give 45 days notice. There's also a clause that says that they can amend the contract whenever it suits them to meet, like, you know, so they have the full, we're at their mercy, really. Like,
absolutely.
We really are. You know,
as a plus, Joe, sorry to interrupt,
yes,
Erica, but Erica, also, they are now saying, and now we're going to issue with this lovely contract, which actually says, lie on the ground, we're going to stamp all over you, and when we're finished stamping all over you, you can then sign that and send it back. Well, I tell you, if I get that contract, I'm tearing it into little shreds, I'm putting it in an envelope, and I'm posting it back to the government. I'm sorry, I have supported the government every step of the way on this, but I really, really feel to pull the rug under providers who were marching the streets only a wet week ago we were desperate then.
But Annette, you see, the spin, and not the spin, but the reality that people are picking up on, well, your staff are going to be paid by the
Yes, but Joe,
state.
that is all down to the declarations that are being made by the government. If I wasn't in childcare and I was sitting in my armchair yesterday and I was listening to that, I'm a childcare provider and I was listening to it and I'm thinking, oh, that seems pretty good.
Yeah,
and I'm a provider. It was only when this all started to come that we kind of thought, hang on a minute.
Okay,
they're taking it from Peter to
say,
Eric, I'll come back.
Can I just make one statement here now? I know you keep saying that the staff are going to get paid, but the reality is that if the funding stays in place as it is, the staff will have a job to come back to in September.
Yeah.
If the funding is pulled, they will not have a job to come back to in September.
Absolutely.
And that means that there's going to be more people on the dole, and we need as many people in this country working after this crisis as possible to get ourselves back on the feet.
Okay, say that. I'll bring another caller on this issue in after the break. Eimear, 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Eimear, what did your creche tell you?
So we got an email on Monday just saying that they want at least 75% of our fees. And we still haven't heard anything back. But like 75% of my fees, I have two kids and they're in 3 days a week. And that's like nearly over a grand they're looking for. Now, I'm not working because I'm a hairdresser and we're obviously closed because we're not allowed to be close contact.
Yeah.
So that's only one income that we have. Like, we have mortgages, we have bills, we have everything like on top of it. Like, I understand the girls need to be paid and I have no problem with my creche. I love my creche. The girl, everyone's so good and it's all great.
But part of this government offer, maybe Annette can come in on this or Fiona, but part of this government offer says quite clearly that the creches cannot charge parents from this month onwards.
Absolutely.
We haven't got that
yet. Annette, explain that.
Can I come in on that? I know with my parents, I basically appealed to people when all this started and I said, if anybody is still working and can't throw anything into the pot, we're splitting that pot and we're topping up our staff's wages, which we did. I paid out €8,000 is going out of my account tomorrow. It's going into overdraft to do it, but it's going out of the account anyway.
Just to be clear, no creche can now say we're going to continue charging you.
I have issued a statement today saying that we will not be charging. Please do not transfer. Stop all standing orders.
And is that because of the government directive?
Well, yeah, because as far as I'm concerned, how I read it yesterday was that we were getting support from the government. And I go and I issue this statement only to discover, no, we're not. They're actually just taking the money and using it in a different way.
And have Eimear, have you been in touch with your creche since the announcement yesterday?
They have, so we sent in two emails. There's no number or anything like that because they're obviously working from home. No. So we sent in two emails and no reply yet. Like, and we still haven't got an email to talk about the government's talk last night either. Okay. Like, so we have nothing.
Well, you shouldn't pay your fees because they cannot take your childcare space, but they may not be open to take your children in again.
Oh, and I don't want that to happen. God,
I'm not. I understand that completely. And this isn't your fight. This is, as providers, I'm saying, and as the government has a responsibility here. And if they don't follow through on that responsibility, it's all families like yours. Sorry, I don't know what your name is again.
Eimear.
It's families like yours that are going to, when we all come through this, please God, safe and well, when we all come through it, it's family like yours that are going to turn up to your creche door and go, why is that door still closed?
Okay, Eimear, how are you managing during the emergency? How's your family?
Oh, so, like, I'm at home. My husband, thank God, can work from home.
Okay.
So I'm just home with the two kids. Like, I don't know, we're only a week in. Like, I'm still waiting to get paid from the job seeker thing.
Yeah.
Like, and we have, none of us out of the hotel have been paid yet.
Okay.
So we're just waiting.
And, then
they took our payment from March. I know it closed on the 12th. So we've paid for the March already. And then, obviously, our April's come out soon now.
Okay. But everyone is well at the moment.
Okay. My husband was supposed to be tested because he had the signs of it last week, but now they're after changing the criteria.
So he has to have at least a fever plus. He has to have a fever plus one other situation. Okay, thanks indeed, all our callers. 51551, wash your hands. Joe
Duffy. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rt.ie. Breda, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
An airline cabin crew, what happened?
I was informed on the 17th of March that I had been in contact with somebody on a flight on the 7th of March that had tested positive for the coronavirus.
Okay.
I was told that I would be tested either the Wednesday or Thursday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
I had rang the HSE Lifeline Thursday, Friday, rang them again on Monday gone, and last week they were telling me, oh yeah, you have to wait your time. It can take whatever, 4 or 5 days. When I rang on Monday, I was told I had to go back through my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I rang my doctor here and they sent me a form to fill out online. And I ticked quite a lot of the boxes. And had I been in contact with somebody who had coronavirus? Yes, I had.
Yeah.
And I was contacted on Monday evening to say I would either get a phone call to go to be tested Monday evening or yesterday, and now I find out today, because I don't have a fever, I'm not going to be tested at all. And it's 18 days since I was in contact with that person on a flight.
But does that in itself not reassure you? Are you showing any, are you symptomatic?
Well, I mean, I had a dreadful cough. I had a sore throat.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I had an awful tightness in my chest. I didn't feel well. I just exhausted the whole time. I've done what they told me to do. I haven't put my nose outside the door since I got the call.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. That's well done.
Yeah. My daughter showed signs last Friday.
Okay.
Of she had a rotten cough. She had
And have you been in touch with any vulnerable group? You know, the older
people.
Yeah,
I have a father who's 93 years of age, and I was going to the States last week, and I called in to see him before I went, because I always do. My mum's in hospital at the moment, and I just like to say I love you, Dad, and whatever, because nobody knows what the day or the hour will bring. My sister said that he had shown signs of, he felt like he was getting a cold. So, and like I said, to be on high alert, because I'm afraid of my life. I may have passed something on to him. Now, two of my crew that I know that have been in touch with that were on that particular flight have both actually been quite sick. One has been tested. One had gone home to Madrid.
Okay, the criteria has changed. Breda, Dr. Mark Rowe has been on with us before. He's a GP down in Waterford. Mark, what's your understanding of why they changed the criteria before you could be tested?
Well, thanks, Joe. And obviously, this is a rapidly changing story. I think what's happened is we're getting a clearer understanding internationally that the you know, once you go beyond a certain number of days, a test is pretty unreliable. In other words, the immune response seems to drop after 6 or 7 days of being exposed. So there's a lot of people in Ireland who've been referred by their GPs for tests, and they're in the system waiting for tests, and maybe a week has passed. So for them, really, a test at this stage is not going to be that helpful. And I suppose the bottom line is to really remember the most important thing we have to do is isolate. Stay away. That lady that was on there, she did absolutely the right thing. She self-isolated, I think she said, for 17 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say from 14 days from the start of symptoms. And you have to assume if you have been in contact with somebody that has coronavirus, you have to assume you have it rather than waiting for a test to tell you. Isolate, isolate, isolate. That's really the key message you have to get across here.
The line, Dr. Gabriel, test, test, test. You're saying now they're deciding to test people who are at the higher end of probability.
Yeah,
is that
so
it?
People, as you said, fever plus respiratory symptoms are people that have been with a definite case.
Doctor, can I ask you a question? Briefly. I'm in a cabin with somebody for whatever number of hours that has confirmed with the COVID-19. And, like, I've been working on flights since. I've been in contact with
I'm almost out of time. You're stinging your question, Breda.
What I want to know is, if I have had it, could I have passed it on and now I have not shown much? You know, I may be shown symptoms anymore, but they have it.
Well, the answer, Mark, is our quick answer to that, sorry.
The definite answer is you may have. Have to be very, very careful.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm out of time. I really appreciate, Breed, your call. I really appreciate your contribution again, Dr. Mark Rowe. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Stay well. Annette Egan produced, and Ray Darcy's next.